listening to Truth To You Radio with Jono on truth2u.org. That's truth2u.org, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter and also keep up to date via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. G'day to everybody listening in Itamar in the beautiful Sumerian hills of Israel and wherever you may be around the globe. Thank you for tuning in once again. Today's program is a special one indeed. And first of all, and by way of introduction to today's discussion, let me welcome back to the program from Treasures in the Tanakh, Torah teacher Ira Michelson. G'day, Ira.
Good day, Jono. How are you, my friend?
Doing very well, thank you, my friend, and thank you for joining me in this particular topic that we're going to be talking about. Because Ira, on a number of occasions on Truth To You, Yoel over in Jerusalem, Yoel Ben Shlomo, in fact now in the Judean desert, has promoted this website, a website friendsofitamar.org, on a number of occasions. And additionally, in some of the conversations you and I have had, you've spoken very highly of the remarkable people we are about to meet. Would you please introduce them to the listeners?
Yeah, sure. I'm very excited about the show today, Jono, because I had the opportunity, really just a short time ago, to meet Rabbi Moshe and Leah Goldsmith. We had them here in the United States. A friend introduced us and asked if we could set up a speaking engagement for them, which we did. And it was just so exciting to meet people who basically give their life for the land of Israel. And I know many of your listeners understand the biblical concept of blessing the land of Israel and blessing the people of the land. And so to meet people who are on the ground, who basically, along with the other people, in these on these hilltops and on the mountains of Israel, that are really giving their lives for the land, it just really had a profound effect on me. And not only that, but they're incredible people. And we had this instantaneous connection. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have similar backgrounds and grew up in the same area. But I don't want to take too much time with myself today, because I think it's really important that the people hear about this amazing place and these amazing people. So I'd like to welcome Rabbi Moshe and Leah Goldsmith to the show.
Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. Thank you, Ira. And it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you both on the program. The mayor of Itamar, Rabbi Moshe, and Leah Goldsmith, thank you so much for taking time to come on to Truth To You. We really do appreciate it. And I guess, can we begin with the history of Itamar? Itamar, correct me if I'm wrong, is the youngest son of Aaron. Is that correct?
Well, Aaron had four sons, as we know. He had Itamar and Eleazar, and also Nadav and Avihu. His two sons, Nadav and Avihu, were killed after they offered a strange fire. Mm-hmm. And the surviving two sons were Itamar and Eleazar. And the name of our community, Itamar, again, is named after Itamar, who was buried in the village right below us, an ancient Itamar, together with his brother Eleazar. So they are both buried below right here, together with the 70 elders of Joshua that entered the land. And also of Pinchas, or Phineas, is also buried in a cave right below our community, again, which is the ancient Itamar.
But was he the youngest son?
Was he the youngest son? Well, Itamar was born before Itamar and Eleazar, so Itamar was older than Eleazar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There we go. And now, Leah, I've been reading the website, and I should let the listeners know, the website is touritamarsupportisrael.com. touritamarsupportisrael.com. Also, the website friendsofitamar.org. But the latest website, the updated website, is touritamarsupportisrael.com. And Leah, there is, I have to say, I have really been enjoying reading some of your articles. They're beautiful to read. I love the way you write. Have you written a book?
I'm actually in the middle of writing a book. I stopped a few years ago. I really have to get back to it. I wrote about 75 pages about the early days of when we came out here in the mid-80s as young kids. We were newly married. We really just had a dream to come and pioneer the land. So the first part of the book is all about that. I actually got stuck with writer's block in 2002 during the Oslo Accords, where, you know, the world, of course, was fed the lie that those were the peace process talks. But in the meantime, 22 people very close to me from my community were murdered during that year. And it was very difficult to write about, because I like to be optimistic. But then when I get stuck in having to tell about that terrible time, it's really an unbelievable story.
So I want to make a small correction about the issue. Lay men, 20 people were killed from the last 10 years, starting again with 2001.
And we're going to talk about that too. But in one of the articles, Leo, that you write, Itamar, in its early days, and people can find that if you go to touritamarsupportisrael.com, click on About, and you'll see the article come up. And you refer to Itamar that back in 1985, it was, is that right? 85 it was founded?
Yeah. 1984.
84, and it was called Tel Chaim?
Yes, it was called Tel Chaim, and there were about 10 families living here in prefab little houses. We had no electricity. We had a generator that produced electricity a few hours a day, no paved roads, absolutely nothing for miles and miles but rocks and thorns, and it is... I must say, it's been miraculous to witness over the last 27 years how it's turned, even in color, from gray to green, how it's spread over the hilltops, and how when we read in the prophets about the days of the redemption, that the land that lay desolate and fallow for over 2,000 years suddenly gives forth its fruit for its people that are returning home. So, although when you turn the news on and you read about all these things and governments that come against the reinstitution of the Jewish people in the heartland, and it seems to be like a world agenda almost, the whole truth has been turned into a lie, and the concerted effort by the world community to come against Israel, especially in its heartland, in the biblical heartland, the roots of our identities, which is in the lands of Shechem and Hebron and Jerusalem and Jericho and all of those places. But the people that live here, like us, that have been here and seen how the topography has changed, how it's become green, I really don't even have an adjective to describe it, but it's grown so, so much, and it's beautiful.
And you do, but you do write in such a beautiful way, and you do so finely describe that feeling. I really felt a welling up inside of me when I was reading your articles on the website in the About section. Moshe, Leah mentioned Shechem. Can you put us in the picture for those who don't know? Where exactly is Itamar?
Well, Itamar is pretty centrally located. It's in the central portion of the country. If you look at the map of Israel, you see that Israel's built like a spinal cord, that the mountains run from the north to the south.
Mm-hmm.
And all the mountainous areas, again, are in the center of the country, all the way up from north running down to Hebron, in the ancient city of Hebron. Itamar is really parallel to like Tel Aviv, but way up in the mountains on the east of Tel Aviv, up in the mountains.
Okay, and so it's about an hour from Jerusalem, it's about an hour from Tel Aviv as well, correct?
Right, it's about an hour. And Shechem, again, you mentioned the Shechem. So Shechem is 5-minute drive from our town in Itamar. So that's where we're all located.
So you can see from where you are, if I've got this right, you can see Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim?
Right. As a matter of fact, as we talk here on the radio, we're looking out our window, we're looking at those beautiful mountains.
Oh, my goodness. It's just amazing to think about. It really, really is. And listeners, of course, will remember the conversation that I had with Keith Johnson and Nehemiah Gordon. Nehemiah was describing his trip to Mount Ebal and what a rare trip that was to go and see Joshua's altar. And also Yoel ben Shlomo also gave his details to that trip, and they were very interesting discussions. But it was Itamar was founded in 1984. Now, if Leah, you mentioned that then there were 10 families, I think you said. Am I right? Did I read that there are over 220 families now?
There are over 220 families, and we have also a whole educational center where boys are dorming in the high school here, hundreds from all over Israel, meaning that if their parents live in city centers like Jerusalem or Ranana or Petah Tikva, their sons are living here, sleeping in the dorms. That's high school age. And then we also have an army program in the Yeshiva Gvoha of Itamar, in the higher learning center, where also a few hundred boys are learning and living. So although it doesn't sound like a lot, 220 families, It's really quite a few thousand people living out here now.
Did you say quite a few thousand? I thought that it was a little bit over 1,000, but are you telling me there's 2,000 or 3,000 now?
Yeah, those are the families, but then we have also a few hundred boys here, a few hundred boys there.
Sure.
And also, we in our educational center, from grade one, we have boys and girls that bus in from other places to learn all day here. So they come from all over, and this is the center of education in the Gavaha region.
It is the center of education. Moshe, you have a center of education. My goodness, what kind of things are being taught? What kind of things are being majored there in Itama?
Well, it is very important for us to teach our youth and the students learning here about the love for the land of Israel. That's number one. Love of Torah, love for the people of Israel. And in order to get the message across, Itama is the perfect place for it, since it's you are living the life in the land, in the biblical center, in the biblical homeland, and you can actually take the students out and to see these beautiful places where our forefathers treaded upon when they entered the land, and they can experience that firsthand. And there's nothing greater than an example. You can see it with your own eyes, as we just saw in this week's portion where Moses prayed to God, "Let me come into the land of Israel." 515 times he prayed, but God answered him, "Go up the mountain and let him see the land." But he wasn't able to enter. So seeing the land when you're on this side of the Jordan, much closer up, is a tremendous blessing. And again, our children and our students all enjoy that beautiful experience. Our high school particularly focuses on children with learning disabilities.
Now, you've also got my understanding from the website is that you have quite an agricultural focus. You have organic farming. You've got chickens and eggs production, fruit and vegetables, etc. What are some of the highlights there?
Right. Again, Itamar really was the founding father in organic farming after 2,000 years of this part of the land being completely desolate to Jewish inhabitants, unfortunately. And after return from the exile, believe it or not, it's been 2,000 years since this area has been farmed by Jewish presence. And it is amazing to see on Itamar, we are leading, again, Israel in organic farming. We have beautiful hothouses where a wide range of vegetables are grown, strawberries. For example, every Friday, my wife sends me out to do a little shopping here on the farm, and I go pick up organic cucumbers and red peppers and cherry tomatoes and whatever Leah says. But
forget about what Leah asks for. The people living down on the coast in Tel Aviv that don't necessarily align themselves with the right wing, ideology are all very happy to buy organic goat yogurt and whole wheat flour from the farms up here. So when it comes to eating healthy and living a green lifestyle, they're more than happy to collaborate with us.
Wow, okay.
and buy our products.
Right.
And there's greater joy than seeing the trucks go out of here full of produce to those areas.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And so that's happening there. Also, now, am I to understand that some people go horse riding? There's horse riding? You have horses?
Okay. Yeah, well, I didn't finish the agricultural list. We also have olive trees, there are olive press. We have wine, many, many, many vineyards. Delicious wines. I would come here and actually buy special, what is it, red wine vintage layer. And olive oil, I mentioned before. We have also a dairy farm where goats products are made, yogurt.
Oh, beautiful. You've got goats. You've got a goat dairy. Do they make goat cheese?
Yes, we do. Very, very amazing.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Well, if you come to visit Itamar, you can taste the delicious products. And we also have a petting zoo. So the list goes on with our agricultural branches here in the country. Now, you asked, and you asked about horseback riding. Well, there are some people that own horses here, and you see them galloping around. It's a nice pastime for the youth of Itamar, and they do a lot of horseback riding.
And recently, people that own horses all over Israel came to ride their horses here because we have a nice open territory. And sometimes on Fridays, we have some Harley-Davidson groups come and drive their bikes up and down the mountains here.
Oh, well, look out. So we've got Harleys and we've got horses and we've got organic farming and chickens and goats and fruit and vegetables and hothouses and beautiful scenery and views in Itamar. And also, in the winter, I saw a video clip of snow.
Yes, it snows.
I see you really checking us out pretty well. But yes, we do get, it was a mild winter this year, but sometimes we've gotten a good couple of feet of snow up here. And
we could use a nice snowy day today. It must be cold by you. It's the winter there now, isn't it?
It's winter. It's winter here in Australia, and it's a little bit chilly. It's actually, I think we're going to have an early spring, but all the blossoms are coming out. But you get, now, is there any skiing? Is there a ski season in Itamar?
Not enough snow for that, but
maybe a little bit of tobogganing.
yeah. Going down the mountain, definitely.
On a nice snowy day, you can take a pair of skis and go down the mountain.
Nice. But so you've really got, Itamar has got so much going for it. Do you get a lot of tourists in Itamar?
It's never enough. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Never enough, because people are afraid to come here. And we have to just make people aware that this is the land of Israel. It's right in the heart. It's right in the center. And there's nothing to be afraid of.
Leah, you say that people are afraid to come to Itamar, and that brings us to some of the challenges that Itamar has faced and continues to face. And if I may, I'd like to quote from an article on your website, it says this: on the surface, Itamar is a peaceful and quiet mountaintop community nestled in nature with forests and fields and wildflowers. It's a utopia where children can leave their bicycles strewn about without fear of having them stolen, and homeowners leave their doors unlocked without worrying about burglary. However, over the past 12 years, Itamar, which is surrounded by some of the most hostile Palestinian Authority-controlled Arab villages just outside the ancient city of Nablus, has suffered from a slew of terrorist infiltrations resulting in the murder of 22 of its residents. According to Goldsmith, proportionally speaking, no other community in the entire state of Israel has experienced such a loss, end quote. And that's an article website, and that's entitled The Fogel Massacre a Year Later.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a relative of mine just this week, and I was talking about Itamar, and I mentioned the Fogel family and the horrific, terrible massacre that occurred there just over a year ago. In fact, almost a year and a half ago, and this person had no idea what I was talking about, had never heard of it, and yet it's one of the most horrific things. It wasn't that long ago. Is it possible just to? I hate to dwell on it, but is it possible to bring it back to the listeners, even just briefly?
Well, I'll go back 10 years before that and just say that this was not the first massacre of a family on Itamar. Mm-hmm. The Shabo family, half of that family were also massacred 10 years prior to this. And our response after that had happened was to build a new neighborhood and show our enemies that we only want to live in peace and raise our families here in our rightful inheritance. And we build and we plow, and they kill and they idolize death. Mm-hmm. That's the difference mm-hmm. between us. When the Shabo family, as I just mentioned, were killed, and we finally did build a new neighborhood of 14 homes right behind their house, no one believed at the time that we were doing that project, building those 14 houses, that they would actually fill up with people. Because that whole area, that whole side of our community was basically a ghost town, because there was also another terror attack in another house after the Shabo massacre, and it was just empty. And we were so, I would use the word brazen, to even initiate a building project. But sure enough, years passed and the neighborhood filled up totally. The Fogel family, who were thrown out of their home in Gush Katif, if our listeners know about Gush Katif, 7 years ago, the disengagement in which over 30 communities in the Gaza Strip were totally dismantled and the people were sent to all the winds. And this family, the Fogels, lived temporarily in Ariel, and had decided that they want to put their roots down in Itamar because they align themselves ideologically with the love of the land. And the father, Udi, Reb Udi, was a teacher in the yeshiva here. Mm-hmm. So they actually bought one of those houses that we built in the response to the Shabo massacre. Little did we know that 10 years later, Lo Aleinu, that another massacre would happen in their home. And I'll let Moshe give you a firsthand experience from that night because he was actually on the scene.
Yeah, well, that's a very difficult story to, to recount. And I'll never forget that it was the portion in the book of Leviticus, Vayikra. We just began to learn about sacrifice. And I'll never forget that I prepared a lesson for the family, the different reasons behind animal sacrifice. And I couldn't believe that just a couple of hours later, I would be woken up and having to deal with people sacrifice their lives for Israel, for the community of Itaman. That's really like, that's all I'll never forget, of course, that background, that scene. But it began at around 12:30 at night when I got my phone call went off. And, we're Orthodox Jews, Leah and I. We don't answer our phone on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. But unless it's an emergency situation. And around 12:30, my alarm went off. And my phone and my wife woke me up. And she said, Moshe, your emergency the emergency phone is going off quickly. So I got up and I see that they were announcing that shots were being fired and the response team must report to the station right away. I quickly grabbed my response team equipment and started making a run for the certain junction. As I'm running, I'm getting more information on the radio, hearing that people are injured already and finally people killed. And when I made my way to the Fogel home, as I caught one of my friends just coming out of the house and just to look at his face, he couldn't even talk at that moment. And walking in, I stood at the entrance. I don't want to look at the terrible bloodshed of a father, mother, and three beautiful children that were murdered. And the terrorists entered the community at 9:00 at night. We have an electrical fence that surrounds our community. And they set off an alarm and our Jeep went down and it didn't see anything. The terrorists were able to make their way over the fence and hide in the forest. At that moment, they made their way up to a neighboring house next to the Fogel house, where they waited very, very patiently until must have been at that time around 10:15, because inside the Fogel house, a party was going on. They were having a beautiful, it's called a Shabbat Oneg. Shabbat Oneg refers to a beautiful celebration on the Sabbath where we sing songs. And one of the surviving daughters, Tamal, had her seventh grade class at the house, and the parents were all giving them Torah, and they were singing together. The terrorists didn't want to make the move. They realized that the house was full to capacity. They waited until around 10:15 when they left the house. The girls are 12, the seventh grade girls, they were 12 years old, 11 years old. And Tamar Fogel, she escorted her friends to their home. She left Itamar, she left her house, and that saved her life. So she walked down the block. At that moment, the terrorists who were in a neighboring home, and a miracle for the neighbors, they weren't home. They entered the house and no one was home at the time. The last minute, the neighbors had to go to Jerusalem because one of the children weren't feeling well. They had to be next to a hospital. And not only that, another miracle happened for some friends who wanted to use that neighbor, the neighbor's house, and they canceled. So for the neighbors, a miracle took place. Mm. But getting back to the Fogel home, so the terrorists again leave that home. They enter the Fogel home. They caught one of the boys that was in the living room at the time playing. They locked the door. They took him into one room, murdered this boy, went to another bedroom, murdered the other boy. And then they went to the parents' bedroom, murdered the mother. The father was sleeping with a three-month-old baby in his arms. They killed the father in his bed as well. And they left the house, and they heard the little baby crying. They didn't realize the little baby was in his arms. They went back into the house to kill the three-month-old baby. And then they left. A miracle happened for two boys that were sleeping on the couch, and they were left unnoticed by the terrorists. And they're putting it, again, in a nutshell, this was a terrible nightmare that took place, the Fogel massacre.
And it is horrific. It's an absolutely horrific slaughter. And yet, miraculously, their daughter Tamar was spared, and her nine-year-old brothers, brother 9 years old, and a three-year-old brother as well, as you say, asleep on the lounge. And I hate to take you back there, but the reason why I did is because one of the things that I find, and Leah, you've already touched on this, but one of the things that I just find incredible is the response of the Jewish people, the response of the people of Itamar. What has happened in the year following since that terrible day?
Well, we have to be thankful to Hashem because Itamar, again, we're not a community that sits idly and goes into depression, put it that way. We're a community that continues to grow and to build, and we've been focusing on building and enhancing our community over the last year. And thank God we've now started another building project of 12 new houses. We just finished the 14 houses of the Fogel neighborhood, we call it. They're all taken. As a matter of fact, the Fogel house, which was empty for over a year, just this week, a new family moved into the house. And that's a tremendous
consolation
for the whole neighborhood, for the whole community, knowing that a new family has just moved into that house and is not afraid to live there after what happened, to be in that house.
Indeed. And if I may, quoting from Israeli news, Ynet News, the father of the family that has moved into that house, he was quoted as saying, quote, "We are not afraid. On the contrary, we are glad to be able to express our faith in this way and prove to those who hate us that we are preserving and that we are stronger than they are." He goes on to say, God runs the world and he is watching over us. And I just, the strength of these people, the strength of the community of Itamar, the new residents and the building of new premises, I find that incredible. And the population over the past year, I understand, has grown dramatically.
Right. We really have a tremendous blessing, and we've another 30 families have moved in. Just yesterday, when I went to the synagogue for evening prayers, someone was sitting next to me, and I said, I introduced myself. I said, who are you? He goes, well, I just moved in today, he said. So it's like the absorption committee, but we just got a new family yesterday. And thank God we're approaching 230 families almost, so we're really growing.
It's important, you know, at this point for me to say something that, if I could definitely have an ear, it's a very important message. And that the message is that after this Fogel incident, Moshe and I went, you know, we had to go and speak in about 70 locations in the United States. And I felt something very sad on one hand, and that needed to be rectified. And that is that the community at large, that if anyone takes an interest, because most people are pretty apathetic, I mean, Jews and non-Jews alike, but the people that do show an interest, usually the springboard for that, unfortunately, is unfortunate incidents, such as the Fogel and Shabo massacre. This is what drew the attention, in the first place, to us out here. And I want to rectify that, and I make a point of telling, if it's Yeshiva University, if it's a synagogue, or if it's a place of worship, or as many people as I can, my message is Israel should be blowing the shofar of vitality. Israel is the source of vitality for all God-fearing people, for the entire world. And God forbid that the channel of energy that's focused here should be through mercy or sadness or relating to bereavement, because that is not the message of today in our time. Today in our time is exactly the message of what we were just telling you about building and growing and making it green. And our enemies try all the time to destroy this by the terrible things they do. So we have to pick up our chin and tell the world, Ki mitzion tetze Torah, from Zion, the light of Torah, the light of Hashem will shine. And people have come here. I mean, anyone from Glenn Beck, who was in our house with us, to famous movie directors, people from all over, their curiosity was sparked by the stories that happened here. And what I usually do is I take them to my window, which faces the mountain of the blessing and the curse. And I say, look, this is life. Look at it. Are you being cursed or are you being blessed? You're obviously being blessed, but you're being tested. And you, your message is Israel is the source of life in the world today. And that's the message I want our listeners today. As they're listening to these tragedy stories, they should also know that on the other hand, there's so much beauty and so much growth and so many babies being born. And in the merit of the people that put down their roots here and are paving the ground for all the other people that are about to come, that don't even realize that they're about to come, we're here and we're preparing it for you. And we are strong and steadfast.
You mentioned the babies are being born. I know there's also marriages taking place. There's a lot happening there in Itamar, right?
A lot. Our own daughter is getting married too, thank God.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's good news. And so now, how can – now, I know you have a newsletter. People can go onto the website. They can put their email address in and receive the newsletter on a regular basis. How else can listeners help to become actively involved in strengthening the community of Itamar?
Well, first of all, when people do sign up for our newsletter, they can also ask friends to sign up, because I think the more word that gets out about our community, the more networking we do for our community, that will raise a lot of support in many different ways for Itamar, and that's what's really vital for us. Our dream is to make Itamar one day a very important city of Israel, and we have very important projects that we're working on, like building our permanent synagogue and our youth projects, and the list is very, very long, and you can, as expected, when you're building a city in Israel. And any help, of course, is greatly appreciated, and we have options on our websites, Tor Itamar, supportisrael.com, or friendsofitamar.org. So we have, again, PayPal options or people sending directly into our office. So anyone who can help us, of course, would be greatly appreciated.
And, of course, we encourage them to come on a tour, in which they will receive a firsthand tour from me.
See, really? You know what, Leo? Ira, are we going to Itamar?
Yes, we are going to Itamar.
Excellent.
You know, and this is the amazing thing. You know, I've sat and listened, and of course, I've you know, sat with Reb Moshe and Leia before, and I've heard these things, but it's still so, you know, it's still so heartfelt. I mean, I still, like you talked about, welling up before every time I hear these stories. But you know, the amazing thing for me is that here we are getting ready to, you know, we're getting ready in just a month from now, just before Rosh Hashanah. You know, we're going to see and read the Torah portion Ki Tavo when you come. And Leah just talked about that, when you come. You know, and this is the Torah portion where we see about Har Grizim and Har Eval, you know, where we hear about the blessings and the curses. And the listeners, if you read in Devarim, in Deuteronomy 28, in the first couple of verses, it speaks about what a blessing God will bring, and speaks of the blessing that God has brought upon Itamar. And people that have given their lives. And the thing that really struck me too, the other thing that I wanted to mention was, you know, Reb Moshe early in the program talked about Israel being, looking like a spinal cord. Well, there's two things that we can't live without as human beings that Hashem has blessed us with. One is a spinal cord, and the other one is a heart. And when you look at the map of Israel that looks like a spinal cord, and Israel really is the spinal cord of the world, Itamar is the heart. Itamar is the heart of that land.
Ira, you know what our address is? Lev, I'm serious. You write us a letter.
I know.
It's written to the heart.
I know. It's written to the heart. And so you have the spinal cord and you have the heart.
And that's why this is the inheritance of Joseph, who had the heart.
Amen.
He had the heart. And he that's collected beautiful. His brothers to him.
That's beautiful. Look, I really do hope. I really, really do hope that, Ira, that we're going to be able to get out there in March. And just a reminder to the listeners, if you go to hishallowedname.com and click on the 3T's tour, there is a tour of Israel with Keith Johnson and myself. Ira is going to be there, and Yoel Ben Shlomo will be there, and some other people as well. And if we get the opportunity, and I certainly hope that we do, I would really love to get out to Itamar. And let me just say...
I'm going, Jonah.
All right, we're going to Itamar. Don't worry about it. We'll be there. You and I are definitely going to be there, and we're going to be taking whoever we can with us. We'll be there, and hopefully we'll take the tour bus out there. I think it's well worth going to and supporting. And let me encourage the listeners. This is something that I personally strongly believe in, that we should be supporting settlements in the areas where the world says, no, you can't settle there, when we know that God has said, yes, you can, and it's yours. And
yes,
so,
you must. Yes, you must.
You must.
It's a Torah obligation.
Amen. Amen. And so I would encourage listeners, once again, the website, touritamarsupportisrael.com. touritamarsupportisrael.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Click on the support button and do what you can for Itamar. It is well worthwhile to exercise your faith in such a way. Now, right now we could say thank you, Mayor of Itamar, Rabbi Moshe, and his lovely wife, Leah Goldsmith. But Ira...
Yes.
We can't leave it there because there's a whole recipe section on the website.
Not really. I've pretty much ignored it. I have to add to it.
What are you talking about? It's got white chocolate raspberry cheesecake. Is that you? Did you do that?
It was not me.
But Leah, is this one of yours? I mean, no, this is what I'm saying. I mean, if we come to Tour Itamar, are you going to make us a white chocolate raspberry cheesecake?
I can't promise, but I could make you, you know what? Let's talk about it in March.
All right, okay. Just to let the listeners know, there is also recipes on the website. My goodness, it's an excellent website. I strongly recommend Listeners, go there and read the articles. There's also the Torah portion. Rabbi Moshe puts the Torah portion on there too. There's so many resources there. Take advantage of them. Read them. Get involved. There are YouTube clips. And most of all, support Itamar, support Israel. Tour Itamar, supportisrael.com is the website. Once again, thank you, Mayor of Itamar, Rabbi Moshe, and his lovely wife, Leah Goldsmith. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ira. That's it. In the meantime, listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.